Grace and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, the words for our sermon consideration this morning are from Paul's letter to the Romans, that great letter about justification, about how we are declared righteous in God's sight on account of Jesus. He writes, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith, apart from the works of the law." So far, our sermon reading. Let us pray. O Lord, and now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, Willie. Willie was a very funny guy. He liked to joke all the time. He had a good job in a pipe mill in Milwaukee. He lived in an older neighborhood on the south side, and I know there's some of you who are familiar with that area. He had a few drinking problems. His marriage was a little rocky at times. He worked hard. He saved for his retirement. He had a good pension coming. And his life, for the most part, seemed pretty stable, even happy. And he was confident of the course of his future. But these are uncertain times. One day when Willie was 63 years old, the company that owned the mill went bankrupt. And his pension was gone. And that stable, happy life gone in an instant. He had to find a job right away. He ended up working a night job at CVS as a stocker. His health deteriorated. He turned to drinking too much, and his wife left him, and everything spiraled out of control for him until one day Willie died. It was a snowy December day. He died alone and nearly penniless outside of a bar in Cudahy. These are uncertain times. Things can change in an instant. Martin Luther was not a terribly funny guy. He was kind of rough sometimes, but smart. His father was a miner, and his father worked very hard to send him to law school. His whole family worked hard and scrimped and saved to buy him $10,000 worth of books so that he could attend law school. Martin was confident in the course of his future as he rode from his hometown toward the law school. He was confident until he was caught up in a thunderstorm and lightning struck close by, and his horse reared up and threw him into the mud and hurt him pretty badly. He nearly died that day. And right then and there, Martin realized just how quickly things change in life, and he swore that he would give his life to God, that he would become a monk. But as a monk, he soon discovered that he still wasn't content, still wasn't sure. And that last day of October in 1517, he had put his concerns down on paper. We call it the 95 Theses, but really it's 95 sentences for debate. Questions that he had. And those questions were difficult ones. And they caused the powers that be to squirm and eventually caused him to have to give up his place as a monk and live on the lam for a while. He was a hunted man. Martin was seeking certainty in uncertain times, and he was not content with the illusions of worldly certainty. He knew that in a moment, that steady job, that pension, wealth in the bank, good health, all of that can just be wiped out in a second. He knew that all those things, though they are blessings from the Lord himself, those things are temporary and fleeting. And one day they will evaporate or become meaningless. Martin Luther was seeking certainty in uncertain times, and he wanted to know for certain the answer to the question, what will happen to me when I die? Today's Reformation Sunday. Today, we too are seeking certainty in uncertain times. Today, we walk with Luther and ask his questions, and today we'll begin where Luther began with that question, am I sure of myself? Now, Luther was a monk. He spent every day thinking about God, praying and fasting, reciting the scriptures, attending mass, and yet even though he did all of these things, he could not escape what he called this monstrous uncertainty. He didn't know whether he had done enough. He didn't know whether God would accept him into heaven or not. He didn't know because he was not sure of himself. The more he thought about his own life, his own thoughts, his own words to other people, the more uncertain and uncomfortable he grew. His certainty was like the morning dew that vanishes when the sun comes up. Like our righteousness vanishes before the fire of God's wrath. The more he pressed himself to follow the law of the Lord, the more he realized his shortcomings, his failures, his sins. And he spiraled out of control down into that gutter of despair. I doubt that there's any one of us here who has such a tender conscience as he had at that time. But I dare say that if we hold up our worthiness before God's law, we too will be silenced. That's the first thing that Paul says in our epistle reading. We too will recognize in the face of God's law that we are accountable to the perfect God who is absolutely righteous. Now we may whine and complain and try all kinds of diversion tactics to squirm free and avoid looking the truth in the eye, but God's law will not let us go. Luther's life, my life, your lives, they're all lived in the valley of the shadow of death, as Jeremiah reminded us. Slowly and inevitably, you and I will be brought to understand that we are mortal and that there is no second chance for us, no extra lives, as though this were some kind of video game. All along, we will see more and more just how serious God is. The words that once so easily spilled from our lips like venom will taste their bitterness. because God will never accept a liar or a slanderer into his heaven. The daggers that we bring out in our thoughts sometimes, that we so quickly stab at others with, their sharpness will come back toward us. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him, according to Jesus. The misplaced priorities that led us away from worship and made church attendance seem like drudgery rather than a privilege. How are we going to stand before God on that last day and say, God, you just weren't that important to me right then? Silence, he will say. No whining, no boasting. Every mouth will be silenced and the whole world held accountable. You and me and Martin Luther, we will all stand before God. Is there certainty to be found in ourselves? No. Never. We will never find certainty, the certainty of eternal life in ourselves or because of anything that we might have done. For we have all fallen short of the glory of God, according to Paul. Far short. Our best efforts are as filthy rags, unfit for a beggar, let alone the King of Kings. But Luther's journey did not end in the gutter of despair, wrapped up in the filthy rags of his own righteousness. Just when the darkness was deepest and the heat of God's wrath was the fiercest, when the law had made him conscious of every last transgression, iniquity, every sin, God caused Luther to hear the rest of his word, the greater message. Now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Luther said that it was as though the clouds parted and heaven descended to him. The righteousness that saves us from eternal death and hell is not our own. It is the righteousness of God's appointed Savior, Jesus Christ. God covers us with Jesus' righteousness. So the question is not, am I certain of myself? The real question is, am I sure of Christ's ability to please God? And the answer to that question is clear. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the one true God. He is infinitely perfect and infinitely righteous. He's the very definition of what is right. And he came down to live in this gutter that we live in, among us pitiful human beings. And he lived here his life without a single sin. He lived that life for us. He always listened. He always obeyed his heavenly Father. Though he was tempted in every way that we are, the scriptures say, he was without sin. This is most certainly true. And that perfect life he offered to God as a sacrifice on our behalf. He gave his life on the cross of Calvary for you and for me, for Martin Luther, for the whole world. And his blood covers our sins. The blood of the infinite God-man covers not just a few sins, not just many sins, but all of them. While we were yet sinners, the scriptures say, Christ died for us. In this way, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the good news for this Reformation Day and for every day. Now, I began the sermon with Willie. That's not his real name. I did know this man, though. He was a real person. And he had a tragic life and death. But it wasn't tragic because he lost every earthly prop. That's going to happen to all of us. It wasn't tragic because every so-called certainty in Willie's life was taken away from him. It was tragic because he had heard about Jesus. I told him myself. Willie's life was tragic, is tragic, because he heard and he refused the Savior's gracious plea. So what's left to him now? He does have certainty, but it's not the certainty of God's love. It's the certainty that he is a sinner who has offended God. What about you? But for the grace of God, we would be there with Willie. Are you sure that you are saved? For Luther, this was the single biggest question. Am I sure that I have salvation? Am I sure that I will be in heaven? This is the most important question. It's not a trivial one. We walk through our lives sometimes forgetting about it, but it's not trivial. Luther knew the word. He heard it. And it gave him strength. And it made him confident in the work of Christ. You and I, well, we should take heed to that same word, lest we lose the precious gift that God has given to us by grace. Lest we lose that faith that he has placed into our hearts. We should keep this in mind in everything we do in this world. Every last thing when we teach, we should fear God in this way. When we raise children, we should fear God in this way. Whether we gather to hear his word or eat a meal, we should fear God. But we should also love him, as we're reminded continuously in our catechism. We should love God because he has saved us, because he has given his own son to be the sacrifice for our sin. We should love God because he came to us, not because of our own thinking, not because of our own choosing, but because his Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts through the word, through the sacraments. We should fear and love God so that we desire the better things and live in the certainty of Christ during these uncertain times. May God's perfect will strip away what we wrongly imagine so often to be our certainty. And may God's perfect will give us that which truly is certain and never changes, truly is solid, our Savior, who is the way and the truth and the life, so that we may be bold with Luther and say, here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our human understanding, guard your hearts and minds unto everlasting life in Christ Jesus. Amen. We will continue now with hymn 293 in place of the normal hymn that we sing at this point.